Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. China's Economy, What Everyone Needs to Know by Arthur R. Kroeber is an accessible, analytically grounded guide to how the world's second largest economy actually works and why its trajectory matters globally. Written in a clear question and answer style associated with the What Everyone Needs to Know series, the book explains the institutions, policy tools, and political constraints that have shaped China's extraordinary growth since the start of reform and opening. Kroeber, a longtime China economy watcher, focuses on the practical mechanics behind headline stories, the role of the Communist Party, the state-dominated financial system, industrial policy, trade and investment, and the structural challenges created by debt, demographics, and productivity. Rather than treating China as either an unstoppable juggernaut or a looming collapse, the book maps the incentives and trade-offs facing leaders, firms, and households. Readers come away better equipped to interpret economic news, understand policy shifts, and assess competing narratives about China's future. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how China's growth model was built. A central theme is the step-by-step construction of China's modern growth model from the late 1970s onward. The book clarifies how market incentives were introduced without abandoning political control, creating a hybrid system in which competition and entrepreneurship expanded inside boundaries set by the party state. It explains why high investment became the engine of rapid catch-up growth. Infrastructure, urban construction, and industrial capacity were scaled quickly because the state could mobilize land, credit, and administrative coordination. Export-led industrialization is treated as a phase enabled by global demand, foreign technology, and a massive shift of labor from countryside to factory towns. The discussion also connects growth to institutional choices such as fiscal arrangements between central and local governments, the use of state-owned enterprises in strategic sectors, and policy experimentation at the local level. Importantly, the book frames growth as a political economy outcome. Leaders prioritize stability and employment, while local officials respond to promotion incentives tied to development. This helps readers see why the model produced spectacular results and why it also generated imbalances that later became harder to manage. Secondly, the party state, markets, and governance. The book gives a practical account of how governance shapes economic outcomes in China. Instead of presenting markets and the state as opposites, it shows how they are intertwined through regulation, personnel control, and the party's presence inside major firms and institutions. Readers are guided through the logic of policymaking in a one-party system, maintaining legitimacy through rising living standards, preventing financial and social instability, and retaining command over critical levers such as banking, land, and information. It also addresses the division of responsibilities across central ministries, provincial governments, and municipal authorities, emphasizing that local governments play an outsized role in investment and implementation. This governance structure can enable rapid mobilization and long-term planning, but it can also create misaligned incentives, opaque decision processes, and uneven enforcement. The treatment of corruption and accountability is framed as an economic issue as well as a political one, because it affects capital allocation and business confidence. Overall, the topic equips readers to understand why policies can be decisive and fast-moving, yet sometimes produce unintended consequences when local imperatives collide with national goals. Thirdly, finance, debt, and the allocation of capital, a major part of understanding China is understanding its financial system, and the book outlines how credit is created and directed. It explains the dominance of large state-controlled banks, the role of policy guidance in lending, and why deposit-based banking supported an investment-heavy growth model. The discussion highlights how financial repression, such as controlled interest rates and limited alternatives for household savings, historically helped funnel cheap funding to favored borrowers. At the same time, it explores the risks that arise when credit expansion outpaces productivity, rising corporate leverage, local government financing vehicles, and property-related borrowing. The book also addresses shadow finance as a response to constraints in formal banking, describing why off-balance sheet channels emerge when demand for credit exceeds official supply or when risk is pushed away from regulated balance sheets. Importantly, the analysis treats debt not just as a number but as a governance problem: who bears losses, how defaults are managed, and how political priorities influence restructuring. This helps readers interpret periodic tightening and easing cycles, as well as the broader question of whether China can reduce financial risk without sacrificing growth and employment. Fourthly, trade, technology, and China's place in the world economy. The book situates China within global trade and investment networks, showing how external integration reinforced domestic transformation. It explains why joining global value chains accelerated industrial upgrading, how foreign direct investment transferred, know-how, and why export competitiveness was linked to logistics, scale, and an enormous labor pool. It also explores the evolution from low-cost assembly toward more sophisticated manufacturing and services, while acknowledging the persistent role of state support and industrial policy. This topic is especially useful for readers trying to understand recurring debates over trade imbalances, market access, subsidies, and technology transfer. The book clarifies how exchange rate management, current account trends, and capital controls fit into the broader strategy of maintaining stability while opening selectively. It also addresses the limits of an export-driven approach as wages rise and global demand shifts, which pushes China to rely more on domestic consumption and innovation. The analysis provides a framework for interpreting tensions with major trading partners and the strategic importance of technology, standards, and supply chain resilience. Readers gain a clearer sense of how domestic priorities and geopolitical competition shape economic choices. Lastly, structural challenges, demographics, productivity, and rebalancing. A forward-looking theme is the set of structural constraints that emerge as a country moves from rapid catch-up growth to a more mature stage. The book explains why demographic change matters. A shrinking working age population and aging society can reduce labor supply, raise fiscal burdens, and pressure pension and health systems. It also highlights the challenge of sustaining productivity growth once easy gains from rural to urban migration and basic industrialization diminish. The discussion connects these constraints to the need for rebalancing, meaning shifting from investment and heavy industry toward consumption, services, and more efficient use of capital. Yet rebalancing is presented as politically and institutionally difficult because powerful actors benefit from the old model, and because local governments depend on land and construction-related revenues. The book addresses the property sector as both a pillar of growth and a source of risk, and it notes the social implications of inequality, urbanization, and household security. By framing challenges in terms of incentives and trade-offs, the topic helps readers avoid simplistic predictions. It lays out why China may grow more slowly, yet remain resilient, and why policy choices will determine the balance between stability, innovation, and social welfare. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a reliable, non-sensational guide to China's economy, students, investors, policy professionals, journalists, business leaders, and general readers who follow global news but want clearer foundations. It benefits the reader by explaining the mechanics behind big headlines, including why the party state can steer outcomes through finance and administration, why local governments matter so much, and why policy choring fault lines. That understanding helps people make better judgments about risk, opportunity, and the likely direction of policy rather than reacting to dramatic narratives of inevitable dominance or imminent collapse. Compared with many books that focus mainly on ideology, personal leadership, or isolated case studies, Kroeber provides a structured, economy-wide map of institutions, incentives, and constraints in a format designed for quick reference and cumulative learning. The question and answer style also makes complex issues easier to revisit when new events occur, such as regulatory shifts, trade disputes, or growth slowdowns. For anyone deciding what to buy, this volume is worth it because it balances breadth with analytical rigor and helps readers build a durable framework they can apply long after the news cycle changes. If you would like to support Arthur R. Kroeber, you can buy the books through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.